Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to look at one of those miracles that God performs that defy any common sense or any logic here in 2 Kings chapter 4. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 7, then we'll pray and get into this passage of Scripture. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 1, here God tells us, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God and said, And he said, Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. And we just ask your blessing upon us now as we seek to gain something from it that will help us in our daily living. We'll thank you for what you'll do now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we see this account in the life of Elisha the prophet, we've seen the miracle that's taken place, but this evening the message of my title is nothing but a pot. And I want to look at more than just the miracle. I want to look at the symbolism here, why God chose to tell us. Now, Elisha performed more miracles than any other man in the Old Testament, but I don't think God recorded all the miracles that he performed, or that Elijah or any of the other prophets did at the command. Now, technically, God did all those miracles, but God did them through these men. God only gave us the ones that he wanted us to know about in order to help us. And I think there's a real important lesson here about nothing but a pot. The first thing we find in this passage of Scripture is this woman's predicament. The woman's predicament there in verse number 1. And it tells us the first information we have about her is that she was a wife of one of the sons of the prophet. Now, when we read the word sons of the prophets, we think of maybe teenagers or just very young men. And that's not necessarily the case, because he obviously had a wife, and we find that he had two sons as well that he and his wife were raising. And so he's not a teenager. He's a little bit more advanced than that, maybe in his 20s, maybe in his 30s, possibly even in his 40s. But the sons of the prophets is a technical term for men that God had called into ministry. And some equate these schools of the prophet that he and his family were a part of, equate that to a seminary of today. I think it goes beyond that. I think they did more than just learn. I think they also served and taught and did different things. But nevertheless, she's a wife of one of these sons of the prophets. So she's a preacher's wife. And then it goes on to say that she's a widow. Her husband, for some reason, and there is no explanation, no description as to what happened, but God just simply tells us through her, as she's talking to the prophet, my husband's dead. And then she tells us a little bit about her husband. He was known personally to Elisha, because she said, thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And so Elisha was familiar with this man. He's obviously a very faithful man before God called him home. But now the family's in a problem. They've met very difficult circumstances, because a woman couldn't go out and get a job in those days, had a very difficult time providing for herself. And so they got to the place where a creditor was coming to the house. Now, the creditor was someone that they owed money to, and she had no way to pay the man. And so the Mosaic law made a provision for this, and that provision was that the sons or the children would be taken as bond slaves, and they would serve the creditor for a certain number of years, depending on how much was owed, but they were allowed to keep them until the year of Jubilee, which happened every several decades. So these boys might be gone. It depends where it falls. It was a set time. They could be gone for quite some time, depending on how close they were to the year of Jubilee. So what a predicament for a mother to be in. Her husband is gone. Now she's about to lose her two sons. Probably, or perhaps even for the rest of her life, they would be serving someone else. Terrible predicament to be in. Verse number 2, we see that her life was even worse than that, because we see not just her predicament, but her poverty. Her poverty. When Elisha asks what she has in the house, she says, "All I've got is a pot of oil." Just one pot of oil. Doesn't say anything about food. Remember when Elijah went to the widow woman and she had just a handful of meal. At least she had meal. This woman doesn't even have that. And so she has nothing but a pot of oil and abject poverty. Absolutely no way to remedy the situation of her own account. Just nothing she can do without giving up her children to the creditor. But with God, there is always hope. And so we see in verses 3 and 4 her plan. Her plan. Now her plan wasn't going to be necessarily an easy plan. We read it like it's just an easy thing to do. Like you go running enthusiastically and joyfully and hopefully and do get the job done. But it takes a little bit more than just that. Because the first thing we see about it is that it involved a great deal of humility. In verse number 3, we find that she was told to go borrow however many pots she could of her neighbors. There were to be empty pots. I imagine their neighbors were scratching their heads, wondering what in the world is this crazy woman going to do with empty pots? I mean, think about it. And so it took a great deal of humility. And then it also took a great deal of faith. A great deal of faith. They were to go into the house with as many empty vessels as they could and then close the door. Close the door. I think God wanted that door closed because He didn't want anyone being able to say that her neighbors came and supplied the oil. I think God wanted all the credit. And I think when God does great things, that He always wants all the credit. He doesn't want us to give it to any other party. But nevertheless, we find that in verse number 4, she went in, or she was told to go in and just simply pour out into the vessels. Now this must have sounded kind of crazy, but it would take faith to obey this, to go borrow those vessels because you believe that God is going to fill them up with that one little pot that you had there in the house. And so that's the plan. It defies logic. It defies common sense. There is no explanation for how this can happen. And yet God says this is what you need to do. You know, God's plans for us don't always make sense, but it's always best to follow God's plans because God's plans are always right because He knows the end from the beginning and He knows the end result of everything we might try to do. And so this widow woman had wisdom and shows that she was of one accord with her husband as being a man and a woman that did fear the Lord and allowed God to rule their lives. And so as she follows out the plan in verses 5 and 6, we see her provision. And so they go and borrow the vessels, and they close the door, and she begins to pour. Now, I imagine she just kept that pot tipped. And I think when they came down to the last vessel, I think, and this is the way I've always read it, ever since the first time I read it, when she says in the middle of verse number 6, "Bring me a vessel." I think she's concerned about the oil pouring all over the floor and all over everything and running out under the door of the house. I think she thought that thing wasn't ever going to stop because she had faith. God can do anything. And the Bible tells us with God, nothing is impossible. And so she fills every vessel they were able to secure. And the interesting thing is, the way God provides, He always provides enough, but never more than enough. When the last vessel was full, the oil stopped. Now, how does God do that? That in itself is a miracle. It shows that God was paying close attention to what was going on in that closed house. Probably wasn't much of a house, maybe just a one-room house, I don't know. But this is a woman in total poverty. But God was looking in through the roof to that house to know what was going on in their lives. And He was timing everything just perfectly, just the right amount. That's the way God provides for us, isn't it? And then in verse number 7, we see her piety. Her piety. She's got all these pots of oil. Common sense tells you what you're going to do with them. You're going to sell them and pay the creditor off. And if there's any left, then, well, what am I going to do with what's left? I can think of a lot of good things. I can go buy that new Jag, right, with the leftover oil. That sounds like a reasonable thing to do. But she doesn't do that, does she? She doesn't leave anything to human interference. She wants to know what God wants her to do. And so she ran and found the man of God, Elisha, and asked him what God wants her to do with the oil. And he tells her, go sell it, pay the creditor, which was obvious. And then he tells her something that is interesting. He just simply tells her, God has provided for you to live off the rest. He doesn't tell her to tithe from it. I have to imagine she did, but he doesn't have to tell her to give him his part, like so many preachers do today, send me your money and God will bless you. That's not the way it worked in the Bible, did it? It's just simply God will bless you if you're faithful. And so we see her submission when she told the man of God. We see her solution, pay the debt, and we see her surplus, live off the rest, because God provided. But let's go back to that pot, nothing but a pot. I really like reading in the Word of God when God brings out just little, insignificant, everyday items. Like, as Stephanie was thinking about the little boy's lunch, and I thought about going there, and as I'm studying, that's what I'm thinking about, is a little boy's lunch. Fed all those multitudes of people on a little lunch. Because I take great encouragement from that, because I don't think I'm anything or anybody. But as I see God using little, insignificant things in Scripture, that are just average and ordinary and nothing superior or to set them above the rest, it gives me encouragement to know that God can use me and that God wants to use me, just like He wanted to use a little pot in a widow's house that had a little bit of oil in it. You know what oil represents almost all the time when it's ever used symbolically in Scripture? What does the oil represent? The Holy Spirit. And so what God is saying is He's not looking for any ordinary pot. He's looking for an ordinary pot that's full of the Holy Spirit of God. And He said, I can do wonderful and great things and miraculous things if there's a pot that's willing to be used on my behalf. And that's what I see as I read this passage of Scripture containing this miracle that God performed for this widow woman. Yes, I believe God cared very dramatically for this woman. But I also believe He wanted us to learn the lesson of that little pot that was full of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting to see that there's enough of the Holy Spirit that when she was pouring that out of that pot was able to fill other pots. You see, when we serve God under the power of the Holy Spirit of God, there is always a sufficient amount of the Holy Spirit to get the job done and to work in the lives of other people. We never run short in our supply of the Holy Spirit of God. We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, but it's not that we're getting more of the Spirit. I think you know this. It's just simply get the Holy Spirit getting more of us, surrendering to that Holy Spirit of God, that oil that indwells us, to give us the power of God. But it's also quite telling that the oil stopped. When we decide we're done serving God, the Holy Spirit quits working. And if we quit working and are backslidden, we long for the days when God worked through us. But until we'll yield and surrender to God again and be that nothing but a pot again, the Holy Spirit will not work through us as He once did. You see, God can stop the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll never not have the Holy Spirit. He'll never unindwell us like He did with King Saul back in the Old Testament. God took His Spirit off of Saul because of Saul's rebellion and his wickedness in his life. God won't do that to us. He's promised us that we'll always have that another Comforter indwelling us. But He won't work through us and won't work with us if we decide we're done. And so, what are you tonight in your eyes? Usually we're pretty small. We read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and see who it is that God saves, the foolish and the weak. We realize that's who I am, and it's easy to get a little discouraged, and the devil's certainly going to play with that and try to convince us we're nothing, nobody, we can never be anybody. But the interesting thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is God says even though that's what we were when we were saved, God can make us wise and God will make us strong as we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we can do the same miracles such as was done here in 2 Kings chapter 4 with the filling of pot after pot after pot. The supply will never run out if we'll just simply yield and do as this woman did and wanting nothing but God's will in her life. And so are you just nothing but a pot tonight? I hope so. That's what God uses. He didn't use a golden pot. He didn't use a diamond or jeweled studded pot. Probably just a clay pot. Ordinary, very inexpensive, such as would be found in every household. That's what He wants. Just ordinary people filled with the Spirit of God, yielded to His perfect will. Will you be nothing but a pot this week and allow God to use you however He chooses, however He chooses? Go to the Word of God, just like she ran to the prophet, and see what God would have you do. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for giving us this account in the life of Elisha and what You can do through ordinary things such as we are. Father, what an encouragement it is to know how You care and how You pay attention, and how You choose to use us if we'll just yield to You. Help us to do that this evening for Your honor and for Your glory. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.